What makes man different from every other creature? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Both men and animals have souls. Does that surprise you? What makes man's soul different is the spirit. Now, man's soul and spirit are not the same, but they are inseparable. And it is the spirit that makes man unique. And when the Bible says that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, God put himself into man. He did not do that to the animals. You say, well, Pastor, what does all this have to do with the way I'm going to live tomorrow? Well, if you'll stay and listen for just a few more moments, I'll tell you.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the timeless biblical teaching of Pastor Adrian Rogers. If you have unction, it means you have the power of God upon your life, energized and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Pastor Rogers said, when your body is right, you're healthy. When your soul is right, you're happy. When your spirit is right, you're holy. To understand how to function with unction, we need to first understand how God designed us and why. If you have your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 2 as Adrian Rogers shares part 2 of How to Function with Unction.
Now, this is the story of how God made the first man out of the dust of the ground. Somebody said that God made man, stepped back and looked at him and said, I can do better than that, and made a woman. Well, that may be true. If you're a lady, you probably believe that it is. But here God tells us how he made the first individual. And he made this man body, soul, and spirit. He made man out of the dust of the ground. That's his body. He breathed into his nostrils the breath or the spirit of life, and that is his spirit. And man became a living soul. Now, the Apostle Paul sums all three of these up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, where he says, and I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God made us in his image, and so we have a triune nature, body, soul, and spirit. Now, I want to help you to understand the difference in the body, soul, and spirit, and why God created us that way and how God put us together. And I think you'll get a lot of instruction, and hopefully you'll get a great blessing and learn some practical ways to live the Christian life when you understand just why God created us and engineered us the way he did. And the very first thing I want you to notice is what I want to call the magnificence of the human body. God formed the human body in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. It is God's crowning creation, and thank God for it. But remember that God made us body, soul, and spirit. I remind you that plants also have a body, and I remind you that animals also have a body. So what makes man different from plants and animals? Man also has a soul. The Bible says that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the body is just simply the house for the soul. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 calls our body our earthly house. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 calls our body the temple of the Holy Ghost. So your body is just a temple, an earthly house that you have while you live on planet Earth. Now, you are not your body. You live in your body. But now you have a soul. Now, the Bible says that man became a living soul. The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh, and the Greek word would be psuche, is the word we get psychology or psychic or psychiatric from. That is the you that lives inside the house. Your soul is your real personality. It is your sense of humor, your intelligence, your likes, your dislikes, your idiosyncrasies, your proclivities, all those things that make you the uniquely wonderful person that you are. Roughly speaking, your soul is mind, emotion, and will. Now, let me show you how the Bible describes the soul as being mind and emotion and will. For example, in Psalm 139 and verse 14, we've already quoted that. The psalmist said, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So the soul can know things. A soul enables us to see, as I just gave you these facts a little while ago about the human body, your soul has enough intelligence to say, yes, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So what is your soul? Your soul is your intelligence. Your soul is your will, and your soul is also your emotion. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, for Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Love, emotion, is in the soul of man. So you have a soul. Your soul is mind, emotion, and will. So you see the magnificence of the human body. You see the miracle of the human soul, that God created you and God gave you a mind, God gave you an emotion, and God gave you a will, because God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. When I was a young Christian, I used to think that soul and spirit were the same thing, that the terms were interchangeable, just the invisible part of a man, that you could speak of a man's soul or speak of a man's spirit, and it was six of one or half a dozen of another. But that is not true. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, that I gave to you before, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the difference between the soul and the spirit? Well, let's back up a little bit. Both men and animals have bodies. Men and animals have souls. Does that surprise you? The Bible teaches very clearly that animals have souls or soulish life. Put these verses down, Genesis 1, verse 20, verse 21, verse 24, and verse 30. All of those verses speak of animals as having conscious life, self-conscious life. Animals, your pet, if you have a dog, your dog has a mind, emotion, and will. Your dog is a soul, but the dog's soul will die and perish. Dogs do not have everlasting life. Cats do not have everlasting life. Parakeets do not have everlasting life. What makes man's soul different is the spirit. The spirit of man is inextricably united with his soul. Now, man's soul and spirit are not the same. Hebrews 4:12 and 1 Thessalonians 5:23, they are not the same, but they are inseparable. And it is the spirit that makes man unique. Not his body, not his soul, but primarily the spirit that makes us in the image of God. For God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And when the Bible says that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, God put himself into man. And the word breath is shay, which means the spirit of life. God put himself into man. He did not do that to the animals. And so you have a human spirit that makes you unique from many of the animals. You say, well, Pastor, what does all this have to do with the way I'm going to live tomorrow? Well, if you'll stay and listen for just a few more moments, I'll tell you. Remember that you have a body, and with your body you have earth consciousness, and you know the world, roughly speaking, the physical world beneath you. With your soul, you have self-consciousness. That's your mind, your emotion, and your will, and you know the world within you, and you know the world around you. That's the psychological part of you. But with your spirit, you have God consciousness. Animals don't pray. Animals don't think of God. Animals cannot reason because they are not made in the image of God. But we have a spirit that enables us to worship God. Now, let me give you some scripture that shows you how your spirit relates to God. For example, when Mary was told that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah, she said in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." My spirit hath rejoiced. Jesus, when he spoke to that woman at the well, that fallen woman, about worship, he said in John chapter 4, verse 23, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." The only way that you can fully worship is to worship with your spirit. Romans 8, verse 16, "And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, your spirit is not identical to your soul, but it can never be separated from your soul. Now, here's the bottom line. Now, I'm going to draw it all together. God made man of the dust of the ground. God breathed into man's nostrils the spirit, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You have physical life, psychological life, and spiritual life. With your body, you know the world beneath you. With your soul, you know the world around you. With your spirit, you know the world above you. When your body is right, you're healthy. When your soul is right, you're happy. When your spirit is right, you're holy. Now, how is a man to function with unction? That's what we said we were going to talk about. How does God intend for you tomorrow morning or the rest of this evening to live? Why did God fashion us that way? Well, here's the key, and here's a wonderful verse. Put it down. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The Bible says this, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord." The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That's what the King James says. But the original word is, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord." What's the difference between a candle and a lamp? A candle consumes itself, but a lamp is fed with oil. Now, the Holy Spirit in the Bible is the oil that illumines your spirit, which is the lamp. When God wants to turn the light on in your soul, He uses your spirit. It is by the Spirit that we know God. And what causes that spirit to burn into flame is the Holy Spirit of God in your spirit, which is the lamp. Your spirit is the lamp. The Holy Spirit is the oil. Listen to it again. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. And so here's the way that I am to function. Here's the way you're to function. My spirit, the innermost part of me that animals don't have, that part of my nature that enables me to know and worship God, has to give me light. Well, as the Holy Spirit of God is in my human spirit, then I am illumined. That is the candle of the Lord to give light. The Bible says the natural man or the soulish man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and he cannot know them, for they are spiritually discerned. A man by mind, emotion, and will cannot know God. That's the natural man. That's the soul. The soulish man cannot understand the things of God. Do you know how most of the people that you will meet tomorrow will operate? Their mind will say, "I think I ought to do thus and such." Their emotions say, "I feel like doing it." And their will says, "Okay, I'll do it." That's the way they operate. Most of the people that you will meet tomorrow are going to be operating that way. They are soulish. They are the natural man. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Your spirit is a lamp. The Holy Spirit is the oil in that lamp. And when that Holy Spirit is in your human spirit, then you are illumined on the inside, and then you know the will of God. Now, when you do this, what happens? There is the Holy Spirit in the human spirit, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to the human spirit, and of course, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to do that. He speaks to the human spirit because we're born of water and of the Spirit, that is, of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Those are our parents in the new birth. Remember, in the womb of faith, when we receive Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, there's a new person that takes place in us. And the Holy Spirit of God comes into us because until the Holy Spirit comes in, our lamps are without oil. They do not burn. They do not function. What good is a lamp if there's no oil for it? But when God sends His Holy Spirit back into your heart, then you're illumined and you know the things of God. It is the human spirit that is the organ of spiritual knowledge. And it is as the Holy Spirit energizes the human spirit that you begin to see and understand the things of God. The Bible says they are spiritually discerned. And read the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. And it says that we have insight into the things of God through the Holy Spirit of God. You say that sounds mystical. It is mystical. The Holy Spirit is to man what instinct is to an animal. Have you ever thought about the fact that God doesn't give to human beings instinct? How can animals take care of their young when human beings who are so intelligent need doctors to give birth to children and hospitals, and animals just do this almost naturally? Who teaches an animal those things? Who teaches the spider to build the web? Who teaches the beaver to build the dam? Who teaches the salmon to spawn and to go back to the spawning place? Who teaches the birds to migrate? Who teaches all of that? They don't need anybody to teach them. They have instincts. Men don't have instincts. God gave to man the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a better gift to man than instinct to the animals. But when a man is without the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God is vacant from this man's life, when there's no oil in the lamp, then what happens to him? For further information, read the newspaper. Without the Holy Spirit, we are like a beehive, as the bees would be without instinct. And that's why the world is in the mess that it is, because we do not have the Holy Spirit of God guiding us. Now, how is a man to operate? How is a man to function with unction? When he gets saved, God puts the Spirit back into the human spirit. And then the candle of the Lord begins to burn, the lamp of the Lord on the inside. This man has illumination on the inside, and he knows intuitively the things of God as the Holy Spirit of God teaches him. Now, when the Holy Spirit of God that's in the human heart begins to teach this man, and this man knows intuitively the things of God, as the Bible says again in 1 Corinthians the 2nd chapter, what man knows the things of man save the spirit of man that's in him? When he begins to know these things, what happens? The Spirit then begins to talk to the man's soul. What is the soul? The soul is the mind, the emotion, and the will. It's a beautiful thing when a man's mind, a man's emotion, and man's will is guided by the Holy Spirit in the human spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks to the human spirit, then the human spirit speaks to the mind, the emotion, and the will, the soul. Now, what does the mind, the emotion, and the will do? The mind, the emotion, and the will speak to the body, the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, the countenance. And then what does the body do? The body goes out and lives in the world. And what does the body show? The body shows the life of the Lord Jesus. As the Holy Spirit of God speaks to the human spirit speaks to the mind, the emotion, and the will. The mind, the emotion, and the will speak to the tongues, the eyes, the heart, the brain, all of these things, the hands, the feet. They express the life of God, and the Bible says, "Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That's the way we are to function with unction, as we understand that God gave us a body. That body is only to house the soul and the spirit, and the soul is to be under the leadership and the dominion of the spirit, and the body is to be under the leadership and the dominion of the soul. And the life of God, as God the Holy Spirit speaks to the human spirit, and the human spirit speaks to the mind, the emotion, and the will, the mind and the emotion and the will drive the hands, the feet, and the body out into this world, and it expresses the life of the Lord Jesus. And God's life will then be manifest on this earth as He inhabits our humanity, and then He expresses His deity and His glory. And when that happens, we begin to function with unction. That's what it's all about. That's why God made us that way. That's why God engineered us that way. Now, what does that mean to us? What does that mean to me? It means, friend, that I must be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Not only must the Holy Spirit of God be in me as resident, but He needs to be in me as president. I need to yield my human spirit, my body, my mind, my will. I need to yield to the Holy Spirit so that He can express the life of God through me. And I hope that you'll just tomorrow morning when you wake up, do what I frequently do. And first, I didn't share this with many people because I was a little embarrassed about it. But it's just been such a blessing to me, I think it'd be wrong for me not to share it with you. When I wake up in the mornings, before I have a quiet time, I spend just a little time with God, just a little thing that I do. I just lift my hands to the Lord and say, "Lord, I thank You that You gave Yourself for me. Thank You, Lord. Since He gave Himself for me, He died for me, His blood cleanses from all sin. I can start every day absolutely, totally clean with no unconfessed, unrepented of sin, and so can you. Thank You, Lord, that You gave Yourself for me." Okay? Then I turn my hands up this way and say, "Thank You, Lord, that You give Yourself to me." Because not only did He give Himself for me, He gave Himself to me. I say, "Lord, You are alive in me. Your Spirit lives in my spirit. You belong in me. You live in me. You dwell in me. And so I lift my hands this way as though I am receiving, because the Bible says, be being filled with the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that not only did you give yourself for me, you gave yourself to me. And then I lift my hands as though somebody had put a gun on me and said, stick them up. Bow my head and say, Lord, I'm reporting for duty. Lord, live your life through me. Do you see it? He gave himself for me that he might give himself to me, that he might live his life through me. So I say, here I am. If you have something you want said today, I'm willing to say it. If you want something done today, I'm willing to do it. I am yours. I'm not my own. My body is the temple of your Holy Spirit, which I have, so you express your life through me. And then I just spread out my hands and say, Lord, it's going to be a wonderful day living it with you. And just try that some morning. It's so simple. Now, that's not all of your quiet time, but that just gets you ready so that you can go through the day and function with unction. And every moment it is His life, His Spirit in the human spirit, driving the mind, the emotion, and the will, the mind, the emotion, and the will, giving direction to the body going out in this world and expressing the life of Jesus Christ. And people don't see us, they see Jesus, they see God's life incarnate in us, and in a Christian, Jesus lives again. There's only one person who's ever lived the Christian life, and his name is Jesus. And if he's lived at your residence, it'll still be Jesus in you living that Christian life. And folks, that's how to function with unction. Now bow your heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that you made us so fearfully and wonderfully. Lord, when we think about the human eye, the ear, when we think about the heart, when we think about the circulatory system, when we think, dear Lord, about the intricacies of our bodies and the DNA and all of this, we just have to stand back and say, how marvelous, how wonderful, Lord, are your works. Thank you, Lord. And then, God, you gave us a mind, emotion, and a will that we can choose and think and believe and act. But, oh God, you didn't leave us to flounder. You gave us, dear Lord, a spirit, and then you put your spirit in our spirit, and you're the oil for our lamp. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Help us, Lord, that we might tomorrow, the next day, in all of our lives, be obedient and to function as you designed us to function. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. And as you've listened today, maybe questions have stirred in your soul regarding your faith in Jesus. We'd love to offer an insightful resource on our website, the Find God's Love page. There you'll find answers you may need about your faith. Go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab that says Find God's Love. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message in its entirety, call 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Mention the title, How to Function with Unction. This message is also part of the powerful series, Cultivating a Deeper Faith, How to Strengthen Your Spiritual Life. For that complete 6-message collection, call 877-LOVE-GOD, or you can order online at lwf.org/radio. Or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Thanks for studying in God's Word with us today. As we pray for the Holy Spirit to illuminate our spirits, remember these words of wisdom from Pastor Rogers. With your body, you know the world beneath you. With your soul, you know the world around you. With your spirit, you know the world above you. We hope you'll join us next time for more real truth that never changes, right here on Love Worth Finding. A listener reached out and shared this personal story with us. We have attended the same Bible church for all 50 years of our married life and have received sound biblical preaching. But there is just something about Adrian Rogers' preaching that speaks to us and has helped us to grow in our walk with Christ like nothing else. Do you identify with that? You know, at Love Worth Finding, we're so honored to be able to share these timeless messages and exciting new resources to help you flourish in your faith. And to thank you for your gift of support right now, we'd love to send you the book, Believe in Miracles, but Trust in Jesus. Scripture says the 7 miracles the Apostle John highlighted were intended as signs. The message they carried is proof that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God. In this book, Pastor Rogers shares how these miracles hold great relevance in our lives today. Request it when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD.